Hello, my name is Sean Seibel, and I'm a user experience evangelist for Microsoft. Today it's my pleasure to present to you a way to deliver a Windows 8 app experience that feels connected and alive through the use of live tiles, toast notifications, and roaming. So let's start off about talking about live tiles. I'm going to assume at this point that you've had a chance to take a look at and experience the start screen. Now, what's really interesting is that for the first time in history, Windows is able to deliver an experience through the use of tiles on the start screen that has a unique opportunity to really represent the content within your app in an engaging way to your users on the start screen and re-engage them over and over and over again to compel them to reuse your application or give them value by having information presented to them without having to actually tap in or click into your application. And this happens even when your app is not running. Now, just giving you an example of that, you see here on the start screen, there's a number of tiles here. Some of them are not live, but a lot of them are live, and they're giving me very valuable information. Now, if you're a person like me, you use a lot of tiles in your life, a lot of apps in your life, and you tap in and out of them to just complete one type of decision, make a decision in your life, whether it's personal or professional, but you use a lot of apps and you have to go in and out of them at all times. Through the use of live tiles here, I have information about what's going on in my calendar here. You see also that I can have mail updates, I can have weather information. You know, without this tile being live, I would have to tap into it. It would just display either just a logo of the app, or it would probably present something very static like 73 degrees and always sunny. So I want to talk to you today about investing in your live tile. Why should you invest in a live tile? Tiles are the front door of your app. It's the way they're going to entice and compel users to keep reusing and revisiting your application. So make sure that front door is welcoming. Make sure that front door is valuable to that user. You want to differentiate your app as well. There's going to be thousands and thousands of applications in the Windows Store, and it's going to be likely that your app is going to have competition. Now, the way that you can deliver a differentiated experience is by presenting value and unique content with your live tile. And when you deliver that fantastic experience, that valuable experience with that live tile that's unique and wonderful to the user who's installed your application, they're going to self-select on where that tile is going to be. They can move it up further on your start screen. They could have a lot of re-engagement with your application and look at it as an app that they want to choose over competitors. But the bad side about it is if you don't use a live tile when it's appropriate or you misuse a live tile, you can have an effect where people will actually downgrade your app. They'll move it to the end of the start screen. They may turn the live tile off. They may, in fact, unpin it, or worse yet, they may uninstall your app from their device. So when you're thinking about a live tile, what makes it compelling? What makes that experience valuable to your user and make them want to re-engage with the content or the services your app provides? Now, I like to start off, and this is not represented here, but think about your best at statement when you're creating the navigation of your application, and think about how you can make a live tile experience support that best at statement and incorporate that into the exercise of creating that statement. So what makes a live tile really compelling is fresh and updated content. You know, content on the tile is going to help users feel that the content within the app is alive, that it's being updated. And this is great for showing new news items and articles, or recent items or communications like email and IMs. Also, it's a way to have a user personalize and tailor the experience for their own use. You can take information like their location and their preferences when it comes to categories. Say if you're using a shopping application, depending on their location and what type of categories of products they like, you can use that live tile to give them just the information that makes sense for them. And relative content, you know, you can present content that is based on, again, those user preferences, but things that are based on their location, say displaying a map in the morning time, looking at the time of day, so they can help plan their day and what type of traffic they're going to have when they go on the road to drive to work. So as you see here, there's a different tile for different types of applications. In the upper left-hand corner here, we have a tile that, for a photo application. And what's great about this tile is that it's actually using the entire real estate of that tile to represent a photo from edge to edge. It's a rich photo experience. It's very personal to me or personal to the friends in my social network. This tile right next to it that you see highlighted is an email application. And you know, I don't have to tap into the application and just see all the subject lines or the from lines from people who are sending me emails. I can just glance at my live tile, see from also a photo that's related to that person in my contacts, and see what that email is about and see if I actually want to make a decision to tap or click into it. You also have the ability to extend that live tile beyond just one piece of information. You can have extended information on that one piece, or you can cycle it through up to five different pieces of information and contact that you're pushing out. And we'll go into that in just a moment. So we have tile templates. You know, templates aren't meant to restrict. Templates are actually to really enable you to have a consistent experience across all the apps that are going to be installed. And we've thought about all the templates that could be suitable for the types of experiences that you want to deliver with your live tile. You'll see here we have photo templates. We have a number of them. And these are available as Photoshop templates for you designers out there and designers and developers. We have them available as templates within Visual Studio. So these photo templates here for photos are great for photo apps, social applications. It shows that they're using that edge-to-edge full photo experience. We also have these multi-purpose. These are very popular, very common of live tiles, these multi-purpose tiles that allow people to use both images and text associated with the content within. And we have these where you have an image in a square and accompanying text here. And there's a whole selection of these tile templates that are really great for social applications. And of course, this is very common. A lot of the content that you're going to be delivering with your app may in fact be text. So we have a lot of typography tile templates available for you in a varied a number of ways that you want to emphasize headlines, show more copy, etc. And calendar or date related tiles, we have that if that's your app's need. And we also have size variation. We have square. We have square tile templates for you to use. And this is a representation of how you can use auto cycle and peak to show more information than just one update on your live tile. And I'll explain that in detail in just a moment. So as the live tile is the front door to your app, it's very important for you to brand it. And we give you a lot of ability to brand your tile. But we want you to brand it very consistently. So if you look here on the start screen and the tiles that are located on the start screen, we have a very consistent method of applying brand to your live tile. We show the brand in the lower left-hand corner of the tile. People will anticipate this, and through learned behaviors and use of Windows 8 and the apps that lie within it, they're going to always know where to look and be able to quickly identify your app and find it because it always has a consistent place located on your live tile. As you see here, also if you're not using a logo for your live tile, you can also use a name, but also place in that consistent lower left-hand corner. So let's talk about the do's and don'ts when you're creating when you're using branding in your live tile. You know, you've got default tiles, and these are the first tiles that users are going to see before they actually start up the app. So in fact, they're not live yet. So you can think about using your app's logo, branding. You see here with the mail application here, we're using the logo and a mail title. Here on the right here for the Treehouse Stampede, we're using the app's branding. You really want to think about the relationship between the tile sizes. It's not just simply squeezing everything in to fit in that tile if you're going from a wide tile to a square tile. You may, in fact, want to lay out that tile differently. As you see here with this alarm clock app, the square tile has the icon or the logo of the alarm clock, and it has a title below. But then when it has the real estate for a wide tile, we show it as the logo and a logo type associated with that, and not having to replicate the alarm clock name in the lower left-hand corner. And this use of the title, or using the typography that's included with the template, actually is very easy for localization. So if you are actually going to target your app to be delivered in a number of locales, you're going to want to actually use our template to represent typography in a rendered sense, as opposed to actually incorporating it as a logo type. So branding on a tile, if you're going to use your logo, as I said earlier, you've got that lower left-hand corner. That's a 30 by 30 pixel square reserved for your logo. This is the most standard way to use it. It also allows for a very strong visual presence for your application. And if you're using a live tile as a text live tile, it also breaks up a lot of that monotony and gives you visual interest for that tile. And that holds true for both wide and square tiles. Another way that you can use branding on your tile is by simply putting your name there. Now, there's some decisions that you want to make on why you'd use your name as your branding for a live tile. That is when, say, you're using something that's very visually immersive. So with these two tiles here, see, for photo-based application, to not occlude the tile and get people immersed in the photo that's being represented in that wide or square tile, is that you actually use your name so that you don't have something occluding the screen or being blocking something that's say somebody's face or arm in the screen or on the tile. And you know, it's also good to use your name for branding when you're using secondary tiles. When you already have a primary tile, people understand that logo represents your primary and your secondary is the name. So when you have locations for weather or different types of securities that you're following, say in a stock application. Now, this is going to be on just some very, very specific scenarios. We're not recommending you go out there and always do this, but there'll be specific scenarios that you're going to want to use a custom branding for the tile. Now, in this editorial contented tile here, you'll see that the live tile has actually the Bing logo as a part of the image. That means that somebody's laid out this image so that the Bing logo is in the left-hand corner, but doesn't include these chimpanzees here on screen, and it's laid out in a way that they intended, as opposed to just being random from information being pushed to the tile. But make sure you put that in the bottom left again, so it's consistent with other branding throughout all the applications on Windows 8. So since we talked about do's, let's talk about don'ts here. You don't want to repeat the name in the tile if it's already in the logo. It's just redundant. And also, people are activating or using your live tile, so they're getting valuable information. They're being updated on content within so that they can make decisions on whether or not they want to tap or click into your tile. So don't use branding as one of the frames within the auto cycle of your tile. By doing so, you're defeating the expectation of the user getting valuable information and content from that tile. Also, another don't is extending branding on the tile. If you're already using branding in the lower left-hand corner, like your logo, like your name, there's no reason to repeat that as a part of the content there. Remove things here like the title of Xbox Live Games or the messaging logo, and you allow for use of the entire tile to either show the typography larger so people can read it, or put more emphasis on the content that they're expecting to be updated on. And you have a number of other considerations when you're putting branding on your live tile. You know, once you make the choice of using, you know, your logo or icon or the name, be consistent with it, stick with it, so that people can identify your live tile, your app, very quickly when it's on their start screen. And if your application name happens to be very long and it doesn't fit within one line, you know, shorten it, either a shortened version of your app name, or reconsider naming your app something that is shorter because it's easier for people to remember the name of an app that's shorter. Let's talk about tile sizes. So, you know, you have a number of tile sizes. We'll go back to my start screen here. You'll see that I have wide and square tiles here. You know, both wide and square tiles are actually user selectable. I can actually make a tile smaller, and I can make a live tile smaller. I can make a live tile smaller as well. And also the user can self-select and make it larger. So in some cases, you're not always going to be able to choose, but you can sometimes utilize the advantages of the sizes of the tiles. So think about both square and wide tiles as being your canvas for painting the picture of what's engaging within your app or what type of content specifics are within your app. So if your app is not frequently updated and it's only going to maybe push out something like a badge, or it's something that's only updated once a month like a magazine and it's just showing the cover, consider using the smaller real estate. The larger real estate is so that you can push out frequent content and a lot of typography or other information that is going to engage the user on a repeated basis. But also you have different types of content, like say a music app or a video app, where that album cover fits very well in a square-shaped application, and you want to be able to represent that in that square-shaped tile, and you target that tile size and not a wide tile size when you're choosing the app tiles that you're going to support. And also, you've got things like summaries. If it's just a small type of update or a badge information, if it's a number count or a status symbol or a status glyph, use a small tile. Again, large tiles for lots of content and frequently updated, small tiles that are appropriate for the content type and for the infrequency of that update, or the limited amount of information that's updated. So because you can allow users to choose between wide and square tiles, and they're going to be selecting it at their own leisure, you want to think about what the relationship between those sizes are. You can't fit the same amount of information in a square tile that you can in a large tile. So prioritize the content. Make sure that the most relevant content is in that square tile, and you're using it appropriately. As you see with the example on the left, in the upper left-hand corner here, we have a message from a friend of mine. And it shows her photo and the message that she's sending. And in a square format, I have her name and no photo in just the first sentence or the first few words of her message. With the people application tile here in the upper right-hand corner, I have a wide tile that shows a whole mosaic of all the friends that are cycling through that have updates in my social networks. And then when I go ahead and use a square tile or shrink that to a square size tile, I just show the largest square size photo in that collage. And then you also have the use of being able to break up content when you're using wide and square tiles through the use of peak. Now peak, you'll see here, can take a large tile in the lower left-hand corner here with my people, a tile that shows that Jim has commented on my post, and it shows a photo of him. But now, using the form factor of the square tile to represent a large photo of Jim to catch my attention, I can have it peek in information, which is type, and it shows the same information as in the wide. So now that you know about being able to use the use of tiles in the way you use notifications, there's other notifications on Live Tile besides what we've seen earlier, is also badges. And I think a lot of us are very familiar with badges. Badges can be a number count, 1 from 99, and it can also be a symbol or a glyph that represents the status of the application. So going back to do's and don'ts, do's when you're thinking about badges on your Live Tile is keeping numbers, small, you know, meaningful numbers, and purposeful, right? You have a lot of applications that can have a lot of updates, and it may actually be more useful to know that I have 2 unseen messages in my mailbox as opposed to 500 unread, so that every time I visit, it clears out the number count, and it knows that I've seen what's available to me, and all I want to know is how many new unseen messages that I have. It's very purposeful, and it provides a lot of value to the user. Also, when you're using glyphs, it's actually very convenient when you're trying to think about how you can possibly represent all the different types of updates that are occurring within your live tile when it comes to numbers. Say a social network tile. That social network tile could represent a number that means updates, new friend contacts. It could be a number of different reasons why that number count is increasing. So when there's an ambiguous number that doesn't really associate to a specific update, you can use a glyph that shows that there's just content that's been updated and it needs your attention. So another way that you can use badges is showing the status or state that your app is in. So here's a music playing app, or you can use this for a video playing app, and I'm using a glyph in the lower right-hand corner to show the state of it. Right now it's paused, and it shows me that it's paused. What don't you want to do with badges? You don't want to be redundant here. Don't show a number count in two areas. There's a number of reasons why. First and foremost, it's redundant, but also they could be out of sync and they're representing two different numbers if they're not updating properly. And you know, don't use a glyph if the state of the app is never going to change. It shouldn't be a part of your branding. That glyph, that badge, should be used to show the status of your app. Now, AutoCycle. AutoCycle is really a powerful way to show a lot more than just one piece of content on your live tile. You know, when you look at my start screen here, and you see that there's a number of applications that are cycling through, you'll see my finance app right here. You see my travel app. You see my sports app. They're cycling through number of pieces of content there. So you're not limited just to one update within your live tile. You can update up to 5 pieces of individual information to entice people, engage them, and provide value to their experience with your live tile. So as I just said, you can have up to 5 updates cycling through. And there's a number of scenarios that are really good examples of using AutoCycle for your live tile. A good example is a news app, as I just showed you. You can show up the most 5 recent updates to news so that I know that if there's a headline that interests me or a headline that doesn't interest me, I can decide whether I want to tap into it or not and expose me, and I can discover new content and information through that live tile. Also, through tagging, if the use of tags in your live tile, just like with the finance or stock application tile, I can have a number of different pieces of information, say the S&P 500, the Dow, and specific securities or stocks that I'm following, update on a regular cycle, like every hour, and it doesn't keep old content there, and it's so that I'm not looking at old updates to any one of those ticker symbols. A bad example would be any type of time-based information that you're trying to provide. Say if you're a shopping app and you sell something every day at noon, and you're just going to show one piece of information updated every day at noon, but you're also showing the last 4 days, it's really irrelevant to the user to see what was sold in the last 4 days if, in fact, each one of those sales have expired. So only make sure that you're using the tile for up-to-date current content. And don't use or try to use your live tile in an AutoCycle format in any type of specific sequence, because the live tile in an AutoCycle is actually updating information at a random cycle, so you can't depend on any type of sequencing of each one of those updates. So we also have pink templates that you can use for your live tiles. And peak templates animate between 2 frames of the same notification tile. So it's great to take one piece of information and provide supplemental information to it. You don't want to use it for providing more than one piece of content. So in a wide and a square tile, you can see that it provides extended information. With this news article on the left, it shows me more of the headline, and with this notification on the right, I see that there's voicemail from a friend of mine who was showing a photo just earlier. peaks aren't good for showing more than one piece of information. It's not good for showing redundant information either. So use, if you're going to use more than one piece of content, don't use peak. Use it just for one piece and extend that. If you are going to use it for multiple pieces of information, more than one, use autocycle. Secondary tiles, really powerful. You should, you know, if it's appropriate, you should really consider using secondary tiles. The secondary tiles are tiles that you can create outside of your primary tile, and it gives specific content that's in some section or detail of your application. A good example of that is if I'm to go into my weather application, and I know tonight I'm going to be flying to New York City. So what I want to do is create a secondary tile. I go to New York, and I can pin it to my start screen. Now, instead of having to tap into a tile that's only right now showing my home location, I have a tile that will update with my New York information, and when I tap it, takes me directly to the New York content. Other considerations when it comes to using your live tile is take a look at how it maps the content within your app. Look at your home screen. Your users are going to have expectations that when they see your live tile, that the content that's being represented on that tile is the content that you'll see in your app. So make sure that all the information and all the content and updates that are being pushed out to your live tile are actually represented on your home screen. Another consideration is no ads or spams on your tile. So think about it. For first and foremost, it's violating the terms and conditions of your application with the Windows Store. But also, if it annoys your user and your users are thinking that you're using this to display advertisements or spam, they're going to either turn off your tile or maybe even uninstall your application. And avoid using any type of images in your tile that represent any glyphs or controls. Tiles are just a one-target trigger, so it's a one-click, one-tap trigger. So if you have any type of images that represent glyphs, like a play or pause button, it actually can't trigger that type of activity, and it's going to set false expectations for your user. Don't use images with text on them. If you have text actually rasterized on that image, you can't guarantee the legibility at different sizes. You can't target specific device sizes and resolutions. And Windows 8 will automatically scale up if they're using larger screens, and it will distort each one of those. It will distort your live tile at each one of those plateaus. So it'll never be as crisp as rendered type on a tile. So use our templates for that, and don't use rasterized text or typography on your image. And other considerations is, don't use relative timestamps for dates such as last updated 2 hours ago. Your user may be in a disconnected state, and 2 hours ago is actually from a time that they were connected. So use a specific time and a specific date so people know exactly when this live tile was last updated. So now that we know about live tiles, let's talk about notifications. Notifications are a bit interruptive. They can appear in anywhere you are in Windows 8, and also within other applications that people are using in Windows 8. So knowing that they're interruptive, it's not always appropriate for you to use notifications for your application. Toast notifications deliver transient messages outside of the context of the app. And when you tap or click on it, it allows you for quick navigation into that notification. This should always be opt-in, allow the user to select what types of Toast notifications they want to receive, and don't expect that by default they want to receive your notifications. So we have two notification templates here. You'll see on the left and right here, you have the ability to brand them with and without photos. On the left, it's using all typography. You can choose your color and embed a logo in the lower right-hand corner. And on the right side here, you have notification templates with photos and with typography, as well as your logo in the lower right-hand corner. So also remember that notifications are transient. They appear and they disappear. So your user may not be in front of their device when that notification comes. So think about the relationship that you have between toast notifications and your tile. If something is important enough to provide a toast notification, make sure your tile also represents that with a badge or some type of information on that tile. So the appropriate use of toast notifications is notifying a user of something personally relevant to them, such as new emails, new IM message, or incoming phone call or a video call. Also realize that apps can hide toast notifications. So you can have apps hide a toast notification when they become irrelevant. Say you have multiple devices and a user answers their voice call on another device, and it can cancel out or hide that toast notification on other devices. And also, aggregate or coalesce notifications. There's no need to have every single represented notification, say with emails, you get 10 new emails. Just aggregate that number and saying you have 10 new emails in your email box. Inappropriate uses of toast notifications. Don't include text telling the user to click here, right? Through direct manipulation, and as you've heard before, what people expect and anticipate is that all types of content can be tapped or clicked on, so there's no need to tell people to tap or click here. Don't notify the user of something they didn't ask to be notified about. Let them opt into it. And don't use toast for anything with high volumes. Now imagine if you're using toast notifications for RSS feeds for 10 different feeds and all the articles are posting up notifications. They're very interruptive. That would be a very disruptive and distracting experience for the user. Don't use toast notifications for non-real-time information, such as picture of the day. You don't want to have a toast notification welcome you in the morning and tell you that there's a new item for the day. Use the live tile for that. And don't raise a toast when your application is in the foreground. That's what the tile is for, and that's for the app can do that in-app instead. And don't use toast for critical alerts. Since they're transient, if you really must let somebody know about something, say like a weather alert, right? That's something that's very important for somebody to know if there's a tornado or hurricane approaching. Don't rely upon the transient nature of a notification. Actually do that in-app and do that on tile. So, and I'm going to wrap up today with one more topic here. Roaming and using Microsoft accounts is a way that you can deliver a very rich user experience that's non-visual. Using tiles and notifications are very visual in nature, but there's things that are a bit invisible that can occur behind the scenes by roaming your application to the cloud and using Microsoft accounts. Now, with Windows 8 and using, say, Windows Live ID, you can create a single sign-on experience, so you have zero-click sign-on for apps within Windows 8. Also, you can roam your user settings from app to app, from device to device. And also, you can use Live Connect so you can access information of people's personal content, such as photos, documents, contacts, etc. With single sign-on and with Windows Live ID, what we accomplish there is to overcome this paradox where users really resist and don't like signing in to any application, signing into their device over and over and over again. But at the same time, when they do sign in, we can offer them personalization and a richer experience based on their preferences. So using Windows Live ID, we solve this paradox and allow users to sign into their PC with a Windows Live ID, and then through that Windows Live ID, associate their credentials to their People app, their Mail app, Calendar app, your app, you can use this as well, and to websites that people may visit. Now roaming, what you want to do with roaming is leverage the use of pushing out information to the cloud so that users can roam from device to device and have the same settings and preferences that they've set up on one device. So when you think about the first time you set up an application, these are probably settings that you want to be persistent on other devices, or if you were to lose a device and get a new one. So you want to be able to enable users to continue tasks from one device to the next. So imagine you're playing a game, you're watching a video, listening to music, you're writing up a document, and when you leave one device, you can continue exactly where you left off on another device. What you don't want to do with roaming is moving large data sets. You have very limited amount of data that you can actually save out in the cloud for roaming settings. Because of these limits, it's best used for just preferences, links, and small data files. And you don't want to use roaming for scenarios requiring instant syncing, because syncing is very opportunistic with Windows 8 and the apps within. So that syncing occurs when you're in a disconnected or in a connected state, and sometimes you're disconnected. If you require instant syncing, it's not a really good use for instant syncing scenarios. And when you're wanting to save people's very personal, very private credentials, it's best to use CredVault because it's going to be more secure. And Live Connect is a great way to allow your app to have the ability to have access to users' SkyDrive, their Hotmail, Windows Live Messenger, and you give your app the ability to create and read documents, push out information to people's calendars so they have other multiple ways and channels that you can engage them with your app experience. And the full access to their online presence, so you give them the ability from your application, in fact, to send IM messages, say, to the contacts and people that they know. And there's a few things you can do with roaming and Windows Live IDs. You can build apps that take advantage of free storage and SkyDrive to store users' content. You can keep the user engaged with your app by adding events to their calendar, as I just said. You can find the user's Hotmail contacts and use them to incorporate them into your app experiences and be able to interact with the people in their social networks. You can also build real-time sharing experience powered by Windows Live Messenger. So I thank you for your time today. I'm going to open it up for questions if there's any time.
We're out of time, so we're going to come back to questions.
Sure. So please send your questions online right now, send them via email or on the Twitter feed, and we can answer them later today. Thank you very much.